You're listening to the Journey Church podcast. At Journey Church, our vision is to see dreams discovered and built, and broken dreams rediscovered and rebuilt. Our mission is to love God, His Word, and His world. For more information on how to connect with us, please stay tuned following the message. Now, we trust that you'll be blessed by the following presentation.
So if I could give you the title of today's talk, it would be this. It would be 10 Things I Learned While in Africa. It would be what I learned while in Africa. And I pray that these things are 10 pieces, 10 items. I pray that they're a blessing to you. And I'll just dig right into the first one here because it really is such an astounding point to me. I mean, I learned this, and it's this. It's never been easier to go. It's really never been easier to go. And what I mean when I say that is, you know, one of the most famous passages in Scripture that is used so often in the case of missions and evangelism really are two. It's Matthew 28, 18 through 20, where Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations, you know, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. Surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. I mean, it's the key word is go, right? Mark 16, 15, Jesus said, go into all of the world. He's speaking to his disciples and he's saying, hey, don't let this experience stop here in this circle of 12 that we've gathered together. Take this gospel to everyone that you know and everyone that you do not know. So take this to the world. And I didn't have time to really dig in on statistics because what I was looking for in my study for this point is statistics on the percentage of Christians who have not stepped foot into another country. And I couldn't really find anything. I'd done a little research, but that was a hard one to find. I did find that 40% of Americans have never stepped foot outside of the United States of America. And the 60 that have, the overwhelming majority of that are for vacation reasons. And so I have to believe that a majority of Americans have not taken the opportunity to step foot outside of the country that we call home to take the gospel to the world as Jesus commanded us. And I want to say this, like, missions isn't an option for our lives. Missions isn't a gift of the Spirit. Evangelism isn't a gift of the Spirit. Those are commands of Scripture for your life and for my life. For Jesus to be very adamant in using the word go into all the world, commanding his disciples to leave your Jerusalem, to leave your home and take the gospel to a Judea and to a Samaria and to the othermost parts of the world is a command of God for his church, for you and I today to leave where we're at and go bring the gospel to somewhere where we're not. And you know, I hear people kind of, and I've always preached that, I've always said that, I've been doing ministry now full time next year for 20 years, and I've heard people make the statement, well, there are lost people here, so why would I need to go there? How many of you ever heard that statement? Maybe you've heard that before, and you know, I've kind of learned to challenge the people that ask that. And I go, okay, well, I hear you, but let me ask you then, Mr. Here. Let me ask you, Mrs. Here, how many people have you reached for Jesus here? And it's interesting how they act like their phone rings and they leave right away when I make that statement. You know, there are undoubtedly lost people here, and we've been commanded to reach them here. But let me say this too, there are also undoubtedly lost people there, and we've been commanded to reach them too. This isn't a gospel that is to be preferential to a certain group of people. This is an indiscriminate gospel that the love of God wants to take to everybody in the world, and we are the vessel to get it there. We've been commanded to reach them too in another country. Let me say it again. We've been called to go into all of the world. Let me make it more personal because God's word is more than just to a group of people. It is to you individually. God has called you to go into all the world. And can I tell you, it's never been easier to go. It's never been easier. Because the journey that we embarked on that took Christians 100 years ago, I mean, the journey we just went on over the last week, Christians 100 years ago, I looked it up, it took them 6 months to make that journey. 6 months just to take a journey to the continent of Africa, and especially where we're at, if we were to go, you'd have to trek well within the continent. I mean, think about that, 6 months in the time period they lived in, because the only route of travel by there at that time was by sea, causing you to forge through unknown weather patterns. So really, when you went, you didn't know if you were ever going to come back. This trip took me and our team just over 30 hours to make. What took people 100 years ago, 6 months. And on my 30 hours, I wasn't getting seasick. I wasn't wondering if a hurricane was going to come and wipe me out and I'd never return again. I'm sitting there watching Ocean's 8, you know, on a seat in front of me while being fed food. Do you have this picture? Come on, look at the hardships that Pastor Jake and I are experiencing going into all the world, eating chicken and gravy with bread and butter being fed to us. Like, and this is where I wrote this first point was pretty much right after I took that picture. Because experiencing that, I was thinking, this is only going to take me a minute to get over there compared to what took Christians months. And it made me ask the question, experiencing this, knowing that the command of Jesus is for all of us to go, my question was this: how much more accountable will we be to God in keeping his word, the easier it is to obey it? Obey his word. You see, I believe every person in their lifetime should be part of a missions trip to another country. Because I'm telling you, your life will be changed as much as the world you go to change will be. I assure you that. I absolutely assure you that. It's never been easier. So I encourage you, obey scripture. My goodness, and thank God we live in a day and age where it's easier to do so. However, understand that if we don't, I'm telling you. Number two, this is something that I learned on this trip. And this really, you may look at this right here when I say point number two, God truly loves us all. And you're like, you learned that on this trip? You didn't know that? You know, like the love of God is just one of those big mysteries that it seems like you could stare at and learn something new about it every single day. And I learned more about this statement on this trip. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. I know we know this, but here's kind of a revelation I got off of it here on this trip is, his love is so wide range. Plain and simple, God's love is so indiscriminate. And what I mean by that is, he loves the millionaire as much as he loves the poorest person on the planet. There's no difference in the love God has for the richest to the poorest. He truly loves us all. Now, I think we can amen that, but I remember early on in my faith, I don't know if I really believed that. Because you would read scriptures like James 5, you know, that just talked about, don't be rich. Like, there are some bad things that happen to rich people. And you just, it's James 5, 1 through 5, you can read it, just rips on the rich. And then Proverbs 23, he says, don't ever plan to be rich. Luke chapter 6, Jesus says, woe to the rich. Matthew 19, after the rich young ruler decided not to follow Jesus for he had many possessions, Jesus makes a statement, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. I would read scriptures like that, and I'd be like, yeah, I mean, I know God loves the rich, but he's kind of making a point here that makes me think that maybe he loves the poor more. That maybe he loves the rich less than he loves the poor. And as I grew in my faith and began to stare at the love of God, I learned that that's not true at all. In fact, his love is even. Let me say it again, it's equal for all people. And those scriptures that I referenced, James 5, Proverbs 24, Luke 6, Matthew 19, those aren't dealing with the context of his love for us. They're rather dealing with things that often get in the way of our love for him. Those scriptures are trying with great effort to put a focus to clear away the things that stand in the way of experiencing the amazing love he has for your life, money and riches primarily being some of the big things that do that. Let me say it again. God's love is equal towards all of us. And as a matter of fact, his judgment for your life isn't based on what you have or what you don't have. So if you got a lot of possessions, he's not going to judge you harsh, you know, just because you had them. What you're going to be judged on is what measure you gave, what you did with what you were given in this life. His judgment is based on what you did with what it is that he gave you. And this was a trip where I and our team sat with the orphan one day to sitting with the wife of the president of Burundi the next. And I felt God's love equally and passionately for both people. It wasn't like it was more for the orphan than it was for the first lady. It was like God's heart beat for both. And that just, that astounded me. I was thankful for that because I think we so often love discriminately as humans. God's love is so the opposite. Oh, that we would take the love of God and let it influence our nature. Amen. Amen. Number three, and I know these are kind of random points, so don't look for a theme in it. This is just kind of like, now let me show you something else I learned. I can sing even when it's raining out. I learned this there, even more so than I ever have. You know what I mean when I say that, right? It's right out of the Bible, Acts chapter 16. Paul and Silas are in prison. Placed in a prison cell unjustly. What did they do but set a slave girl free from demonic possession? And the reward for that is a prison cell, beaten, bloody, battered, feet stuck to the wall in chains. And the Bible says at midnight, come on, how many know every believer has a midnight? Right? What is midnight? It is when the sun is exactly 180 degrees from the observer's position. It is when it is the darkest. We all have dark times. And the Bible says, so if you ever signed up for Christianity thinking that you wouldn't have a dark time, then you were lied to. Let me tell you, it's going to get dark at times. And Paul and Silas are sitting here in a prison cell unjustly. And the Bible says, I believe it's right around verse 18, don't quote me on it, but somewhere right around then it says that they were found in that prison cell praying and singing hymns to God. Grace, grace in chains. God's grace. Grace that can cover and cleanse within, in chains with blood dripping off their back. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that is greater than all my sin. My goodness. What am I trying to say? When things aren't going your way, when life is incredibly unjust to you. I was super impacted by this moment when we We're in a village called Kabezi Village, just outside of Bujumbura. And you're going to hear that word a lot, so I want you to get used to it and memorize it, because that's going to be the commitment of Journey Church over the next several years. Kabezi Village. Can we just say Kabezi Village together? Kabezi Village. It's a fantastic group of people, about 6,000 people total, that are impoverished at levels that will astound you. And we'll tell their story over the weeks, months, and years to come. But I'm sitting there in this village for the first couple of days, and I was just impacted by this moment on this video clip that I'm going to show you, because when we walk in, we're called Mzungus. Did I say that right? Mzungus, which means white person. It also means cash, and they equate the two. And so we would just hear constantly, "Mzungu, Mzungu," while we're driving down the road. I'm like, "Yeah, Mzungu, I know, Mzungu." You know, but like these little kids, they said some of the kids, this is the first time, I mean, we're in a remote area. Like where we're at in this village, in Kapazi Village, there's no roads to get in. Like you've got to walk, you know, about a mile down these dirt paths that you would see on a National Geographic cover. Like we're in the middle of nowhere. There's no roads, no entries. The only way to get to these places is to walk. And so we're sitting there, and they told us some of these kids, this is the first time they've ever seen a white person. And so kids are just coming from the hills, following us wherever we go. We've got like we got an entourage. We got a fan base that is creating. And they're just walking with us, and we go to this village, and we're getting ready to look at the house that we're going to build, that you built, Journey Church, with your support and giving, and we're going to show you that in a minute. But these kids just start gathering. And it starts to rain a little bit, and I just noticed them all start to sing. And you may not be able to see the rain in this video, but check this out. And I'm just watching that and hearing these kids sing hallelujah in the rain when most of us, myself included, would just run inside somewhere, right? And I just, God was showing me something in that moment while I was taking that video, that I can still sing even when it's raining. That I'm speaking now spiritually, that even when the clouds of life gather over you and you may experience the storms of relational rejection or financial hardship, or things just may not be going your way, not to your own cause. It just may be an unjust storm that's blowing into your life, much like these kids. They didn't grow up to deserve what it is that is happening to them, their financial condition, their economic status. These are kids that have been handed a very unjust hand in life, but through it all, they don't care. They praise Him, even in the rain. God, give me the faith, the outlook on life as a Burundian child does. That no matter what the situation is, no matter what the reality of my struggle may be, no matter what I've lost, doesn't matter, I still will always have an ability to sing, an ability to give hymns to Him. Even if I've been thrown in a prison cell of hardship, I can still praise Him. Can I tell you something? Praise is a powerful weapon that you will always have, and it's often the tool to get you to overcome your storm. Don't let anything steal your song. You know, what I love about the nature of praise is that it doesn't shrink your problem. It doesn't dilute reality. It doesn't tell you that your problem no longer exists. But what praise does, the nature of praise, magnifies your God above your problem. It lets you know that, yeah, your problem's here, but can I tell you something? Your God is bigger than your problem. He's bigger than your bill. He's bigger than your health report. He's bigger than the doctor's note. He's bigger than your relational issues. He's bigger than your pain. Praise Him even when it's raining out. I learned that just watching a child. Oh God, give us the faith of a child. Somebody say a good amen. Number four, commitment yields the reality of a spiritual family. My goodness. Micah, do you have that picture of the team with the First Lady of Burundi? There we are. The first lady's right there. And for those of you who are watching online, you're like, where's the picture? We're not allowed to show the picture on social media. We were told by their government. And so it's awesome, though. The church right now here is just blown away at what they're seeing. So I apologize to everybody online that can't see nothing. But as you see, the first lady's right there in the middle. And, you know, and that's not my point. Is it's the team that's around her that really blew me away. This is an incredible team. This is a team that forged through 16 at minimum, sometimes more, plus hour days. Never really had time to stop and talk. We were just working and serving constantly. Hardly got any sleep, and they didn't complain one bit. And, you know, I know this point right here looks deep, but it's really not. Like, I will forever consider those that I experienced this trip with family because of what we committed to do together, because of what it is that we were able to accomplish together. I'll take the experience that I've had with these nine other people, and I will be forever closer to them because of it, and they'll be forever closer to me because of it, and they'll be forever closer to each other because of it. And here's my point that I want to say, like, if we want spiritual family inside of our lives, we've got to understand that commitment is the doorway to making that happen. The reason that we're so close is because of what we committed to do together. Beyond just a Sunday morning seat. And I'm not saying that to slam what we do here on Sunday. This is what God's called us to do, is to gather on Sundays. Sup at the table of his word. Give him worship. Give our offerings to him so that his kingdom may continue to grow in the community he's called us to be in. But can I tell you, there's so much more than what happens at this church outside of a Sunday morning. And I could not encourage you more, because I believe that there are some people in this room, you desperately need spiritual family. All of us need it, but I believe a lot of us have it to some degree, but some of you don't. And I encourage you, because I know you need it. You're feeling alone right now in your storm. If you want to get to this, where you've got a spiritual family wrapped around you, where you know people coming in, you've got to take the initiative and the effort to be involved in the opportunities that sit outside of here that are smaller than just the big room. I'm telling you, it's easy to get lost in a big room. I've had people tell me before, like, I stopped coming to Journey for 10 weeks and just to see who would reach out to me and tell me that I've not been here and they've missed me. And with the love of Jesus, I just want to push him down and then pick him right back up and give him a hug. Because it's just like, what are you saying? This is such a victimized mindset. And I've had people tell me, like, nobody's called me in 10 weeks. I go, you want to know why? It ain't because nobody cares. It's because we got two services. Maybe they think you're at the 9. Maybe they think you're at the 11. They're like, oh, I didn't think about that. You know? But they were stewing like the church just doesn't care. And I look at that person, I'm like, what are you involved in at this church outside of a Sunday? Nothing. You can't expect a big body to know everybody in the big body. That's why we create smaller circles, so that we can get to know you better, so that we can stand with you, put our faith next to you, and get you the spiritual family, but it takes your commitment to get there. And I learned that on this trip. It affirms my passion for that in your life. So I encourage you to make your commitment to Journey Church something that soars beyond the Sunday morning. Join us in more of what God has for you here. I'm telling you, join our dream team. Some of you today, pull out that Connect card, turn it around, and fill it out, and jump on board with us. I'm telling you, we're pretty awesome people. I'll be honest. Amen. Most of us. Amen. All right. I'm just kidding. Number 5. Is this okay? Number 5, I don't know what I would do if somebody said no. I'd be like, okay. Sorry. Number 5, God desires me to always be ready. Always be relying on him. Always be, you know what the scripture says, be instant in season and out. Be instant constantly. Always be prepared. You know, I think God just really says all that because he wants to force a reliance that we would have on the Holy Spirit to lead our life. He says in 2 Timothy 4:2, I think we got these for you on the screen. Preach the word, he says. Be instant in season, out of season. In other words, be ready when you know an opportunity is coming. And be ready even when you know one is not coming. Preach the word. And notice this isn't just to preachers. This is to the church. And it's not just talking preach in the capacity of a pulpit in a big church. I mean, we're to preach. The biggest route that the word of God is preached is one person to the next. Just in a private conversation with somebody. So he's telling us to always be ready to preach the word. Always be ready to give the word out to each other. When you're ready, and even when you're not. God commands me to always be leaning on him. I experienced this firsthand on this trip several times. There were things that were put in front of me that just weren't in the plans. And I'm one of those people that if it's not in the plans for me and you throw it on me, I get a little off kilter. Anybody like that? And you're just like, I like to just know what's in front of me so that I can prepare myself to do it the best that I can. Like I know Sunday is coming, so I do my best to prepare to be ready for you to deliver God's word that he has for you. But man, Jake threw me a curveball on Friday and said, hey, you're preaching tonight. What? Yeah, you're preaching in a church called 3-in-1 Church. There's about 1,000 people at church, no big deal. Get a message together. Okay. And it ain't like I had time just to go sit in the room and prepare. It's like we were in a village all day. You have no time to prepare a message. I had, and I counted about 18 minutes to prepare a message. And for those of you who know me, that's just how long I spent on a close at Journey Church. You know, I say I'm closing, and y'all know I'm lying. I'm not even coming close to closing. But, you know, just, I was like, what? So I was just sitting there, I'm like, God, I'm not ready. But he's like, rely on me. I'll preach through you. Just lean on me. Always be ready to be used by me. Don't be surprised by this, because I'm going to put more opportunities in front of you that are going to be a surprise to you. So just be ready. Listen to my voice. And so I did. I walked into that church with a third of a message in my mind and preached. Felt out of sync even with the translator in the moment. I was just like, man, I just don't feel like I'm doing it. But I'm telling you, I heard afterwards that God created that word and was prophetically connecting to where they were at. This was a church that is making they grew 1,000 people in a year. And the Muslim community around the church is so threatened by their growth that they went and strategized and bought the property where they rent, and now they're kicking the church out. And so the pastor walked into that weekend completely frustrated and just like almost defeated because they just got hit by the enemy, they felt like, in that moment. Like, what are we going to do? Where are we going to worship? Where are we going to go? It's not like this is a church that's got a lot of money. I mean, we're talking one of the poorest nations on earth here. And so I come in with a word saying this: when you get attacked, attack back. And it was just listening to the Holy Spirit just talking about what it is to praise through your problems and realize that God's got you on the other side of whatever you're going through. And I didn't know none of that stuff was going on until they told me afterwards. And I'm thankful to rely on the Holy Spirit because he's the one that really preaches. How many know what I'm talking about? We're just being an echo of what he's already said. He was giving them an on-time word. And when they say, man, Jesse, that was awesome, there's no way that I could take the glory for it and be like, yes, I knew, of course, you know, you're welcome. You know, it was just like, man, thank God that he's the one that knew what to say. And then I was told on Monday that I'm preaching at a fisherman's outreach. There's just a bunch of fishermen around this shore. And they said, hey, you're going to preach here in just a minute. What? And then they took me and they said, all right, here's the fishermen. There's hundreds of fishermen around. And they said, just go on the boat a little from shore and start preaching to the shore. Who's that sound like? You know, so I'm like, what? So then I jump on a boat. You have that first picture? And so I jump on this boat, and this is me on the boat. And I'm preaching to all these people. Now, this isn't all the people. This is the people who responded to the altar call. And so I'm sitting there blown away at around 100 fishermen that just responded to the altar call. These are guys that basically fish in the lake all night, and then they come in the morning. And they sell their fish, they got money, but there's a lot of immorality around there. There's prostitutes that are waiting there to receive the money from these guys. And you can see prostitutes in tents with these guys. I mean, it's pretty wild scene there. But, you know, we start going there, we're screaming, gathering. Obviously, a bunch of Mzungus are there. People are going to show up and see what's going on. And especially this bald, pasty, white Mzungu sitting on the boat. And so I just start preaching, man, the gospel message of salvation. 100 people respond, give their lives to Jesus. It's an incredible moment. And then they're like, let's go preach the other side of the shore. And I'm like, I don't want to preach. Where's Terry at? Terry, stand up. Terry Roach says, I'll preach. And have you ever even preached a sermon in your life to people like that? Nope. So she's like, I ain't done anything like that. But this lady preaches like she's from another world. She had no time to prepare. She didn't echo anything I said. She went her own route, just talking about how much she loves her Savior and all. Hey, another 100 people come to know Jesus through this lady right here in our church. Now they're saved. And so we're like, we got to get you Bibles. Remember, 90% of Burundian Christians don't own a Bible. So we're like, you got to go get a Bible. We didn't have them there, so we made them walk to the YWAM base with us, which is a 3-mile walk. So they respond to the altar call. Then they walk 3 miles to go get a Bible. Take a look at the video clip of just a little bit of what happened at the Fisherman Outreach. Come on, somebody. How many think that's awesome right there? You have that next picture, Micah? And then we were just distributing Bibles out to people that had never had a Bible. And it was absolutely a phenomenal thing. Go to the next picture, if you would. And Miss Sandy Miller preached a word to them about the word and what God's word is. We taught them how to use it. There's a table of contents. Don't start in Genesis right now. They said, start in the book of Matthew. You're gonna read some things about fishermen and see yourself in the story, what Jesus wants to do through your life. It was a fantastic thing, starting to plug them into local churches, and they're a part of a Bible study starting tomorrow. How many think that's pretty awesome? Amen. And what God did. And I can tell you this, I didn't know I was going to be preaching, but I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit, I just, God, what do you want me to say? In the moment, just leaning on his leading, develop a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. I got thrown another curveball on Thursday when we got summoned up to Ngozi to go meet the first lady of the country, the Michelle Obama of Burundi, the Melania Trump of Burundi, the Laura Bush of Burundi. I was like, what? This is crazy. So we, you know, all the security, Secret Service, and all the stuff that's there, and she meets our team. She has an orphanage there. She was wanting us to see it, and she really liked our team so much that we got informed by their people. They said, hey, she likes you guys so much that she wants me to go with her to the national radio station and TV station and do a broadcast with her right now. And so I was like, what? And I was like, what are they going to say? They're like, just be ready. And so when we got there, our team, one of the reps had told me, they said, hey, the first lady wants to know what's your favorite scripture about orphans. And I'm like, I got no internet, so I can't go to Google scriptures on orphans. You know what I'm saying? And it's just in that moment, I was like, I froze. I was like, I don't know if I know the verse of a scripture on orphans. They're like, she needs to know. Like, you know, so I'm like, Holy Spirit, oh God, like please. And I was just started digging. I'm like, I remember reading Jesus' teaching. I believe it's Matthew 19. And so I go to YouVersion on my phone, which is offline. There's no search function. Craig Rochelle and Life Church, get a search function on your Bible app. You almost left me hanging in Burundi. But anyway, I was sitting there and I was like, I think it's in, and I go, oh, I can't find it in Matthew 19, but I go to the chapter prior, so like, oh, there it is. It's Matthew 18:5, where Jesus said, anyone who welcomes a child welcomes me. And I was so thankful that the Holy Spirit started bringing that to my heart and mind. And then he started putting the message into my heart. And then they put us on the radio there with the first lady. And Sandy got to go in there with me and talk about women in leadership in America and business owners and the role that women can have as they rise, you know, in status in a country and what it can do. It's a really fantastic experience. Take a look at just a little clip of our time on the radio with the first lady there. Come on, how many think that's awesome right there? Just to be able to see our church. Now, I got a little bit of a big head after that, I'll tell you that right now. As a national preacher, I'm going to people, you recognize my voice? You might, because I was all over the radio today. Amen. Amen. Be instant. Always be ready. Always be leaning, because you never know the opportunities God's going to put in front of you. It's powerful. Number 7, care should never be delayed. Man, I learned this. I know this is a scatterbrained message, but I'm telling you, there's a theme to it that I'm starting to see now. And I'll get to it at the end, but care should never be delayed. Do you have that picture of Rachel? If you guys are friends with Rachel Thompson, you'll probably see that this is her profile picture on Facebook. And many think it's just an awesome picture, but when you know the story behind the picture, it's what really breaks my heart. Because when we were in Kabezi Village, we were walking from home to home, and we walked up to this home here, and we saw 3 kids sitting against a wall, and they told us that these are orphans. They said, these kids live in this home, and there's no parents. The oldest is around 10. And she's the one that runs the home. And so they said, the dad's out of the picture, and the mom married somebody else, and that somebody else doesn't want the kids around. And so the mom just agreed that the kids are no longer a part of her life, and so she left. So these kids are just by themselves in this house. We're walking, we're in this house, and we're just weeping as I'm watching these kids. And I look to my right, and there's a little pot that this girl around 10 years old is just cooking. She's cooking flour for her siblings. There's no light in this mud hut. And I just couldn't believe it. I remember when they told us, when myself and the majority of our team just stood there shocked, I watched Rachel. Where are you at, Rachel? I watched Rachel just run to these kids. And that's when this picture was taken. Right after she found out, she runs and puts them in her lap. I don't know what you said or what you were doing in that moment, but I just saw the care and compassion of God on kids that are fatherless and motherless. She ran to them so fast, while myself and many of us just stood shocked. And I learned something from that moment. You know, that care should never be delayed. It should be our first reaction when we see a need. That we should respond immediately and run to embrace and assist in any way we can. And I can tell you, Journey Church, these kids are the first kids that we're going to be putting a project together to get them a home, to get them a parent, and support them financially. We're already taking care of their food, just so you know that. These kids will never go hungry. And we've ensured that, and we're going to give you updates on these kids. And like I said, in the weeks and months to come, we're going to start to share stories of what God's doing through our commitment to Kabezi Village, but these kids are part of that. I don't know if you experience that delay times when you see a need, but don't allow delay to stop you from reaching out. If you see somebody that's hurting, go to them. This is what I'm learning in this moment. Look, I may not be able to pay your bill. I may not be able to take care of everything that you're going through, but I can embrace you. I can put my faith next to you, and I won't let you go, and I'll believe God alongside you. Care should never be delayed. Rachel, thank you for teaching me that. I learned this as well. God's will is more discovered than it is planned. You know, I've resolved that this life I've always called my own is really not my own, it's His. Right? I think I taught that a few weeks ago. Corinthians teaches that I'm not my own. I've now been bought with a price, the price being the blood of Jesus. And I can tell you, my life is His. And all that we experienced on this trip, I could not have planned it. I could not have planned all that we experienced on this trip. The favor that was shown to us. We preached in three of what many would consider the most prominent churches in Burundi. Jake preached at 3-in-1 church that Sunday morning that I preached at on Friday night. Again, 1,000 people. I preached at CLM, which is a fantastic church. It's like Journey Church in Burundi. It's crazy. It's the first English-speaking church in Burundi. And they sang worship songs at levels that they could put an album out. I'm telling you, it was powerful. They're 5 years old. They've already planted another church. There was 1,200 people gathered on that morning. Doug Reed preached at a church called PTI, which is where a lot of the most prominent dignitaries are, ambassadors of other countries go to, very influential people at this church, big Bible training school there. It was really amazing to see the favor shown to us in the church. But, you know, and all the first lady and all that type of stuff, that was wild things. But the most impacting moment to me came from a picture. Do you have that picture of the home that we were able to build? This picture right here, I put this on my Facebook, and this right here was probably the most impacting moment for me in this trip, because this was a gentleman named Rudy. What's his wife's name again? Francine. And they have two kids, one's 16 and the other's a lot younger. And this is a very, very poor family. Do you have a picture of their house? This is their house. And it's just a mud hut that's probably the size of a large bathroom. In America. And we're walking inside this house, and I pull out my phone because I just want to film it and take some footage. We're going to show this stuff to you in the weeks to come, but I realize as I'm holding my phone up, I'm like, my phone costs more than this home. As he's showing me where he sleeps, as he's showing me just this destitute place of poverty. And you just see sadness and hopelessness on their faces. I mean, it's just depressing. And this is the home, this family that we, Journey Church, built them a new home. And so we built them about a 200-plus square foot home, has two bedrooms, has a center room that we built for $1,500 that we were able to build. Now, it's not luxury by any means, but compared to where they were, it really blew us away in what we were able to do. And we also put an outhouse there with a big hole in the ground. They call it a 10-year hole. I was like, right on. It was a big hole. So, you know, it was one of those experiences where this person, he doesn't even know how old he is. He's in his 50s, he knew. That was about it. And just, again, the economic status of this place. And watch what happens when we showed him to his new home. Show this video of him inside the house. He just starts talking to us about how he felt. I asked one of the ladies that's a part of the staff, I said, what are the village people singing? And they said, they're singing, Jesus has done this. Jesus has done this. And, you know, he started to tell us of his story, and he said that he was in such poverty that even the people around him would just make fun of him and just mock him for his poverty and where he is and just really start to ridicule him because he's the poorest, one of the poorest of the poor. And he said, he was telling us the story through an interpreter, and he said that God spoke to him in the midst of that mockery and said, "Don't you worry, my son, for I will remove you from your poverty, and I will send angels to you, and they will lift you up out of this pit." And he looks at our team and he says, "You guys are the angels that God has sent. And I want to thank you so much, Journey Church. $1,500 may not seem like much, but it was the world to somebody like that." And this church was able to build that man a home where him and his wife got to sleep in their own room for the first time. So I'm sure we expect other kids to come very soon in their home. But it was fantastic. And then we got to go outside to see the team, take a look at the video. He just could not stop. He went again. So I couldn't help it. I had to jump in there and get my dance on. That's Diana. I've never seen Danny dance before a day in his life. Come on, somebody, give God praise for what it is that he allows us to be part of. You can't plan that. Sometimes you just got to really look to just enjoy the journey that his leading takes you on to discover what it is that he wants you to do. Number eight, I learned that I can't change the entire world. You know, there's so much need around me while we're there. There's so much need around our team. You can say this for yourself. There's so much need all around us that I've just resolved that I just can't change all of it, but I can change some of it. And I think so many times we get overwhelmed by the need that we just don't do anything because we don't think that the little change that we're going to make is just maybe but a drop in the bucket. Can I tell you, though, that little drop is the world to somebody. And so I'm telling you, I don't have time, so I got to move through, but part of that was just the hospital prison that we were at, and we'll tell stories about what we did with the hospital prison and setting hospital prisoners free and what we were able to do in those hospitals, but I can tell you that was where I saw an overwhelming need, and I was like, man, I don't know if this is making a difference, you know, but God was like, you're making a difference in somebody's life. Realize that you can't change the entire world, but you can change a world that somebody's living in. Amen. Number nine. Man, I don't know if we know how good we got it. While I'm there and on my way home, I just was so thankful for the land of the free and the home of the brave. Do you have that, Micah? There's just, this is a very unique place in the world right there. You don't see, and we may focus and drown in the news cycles that show disunity, but nowhere in the world will you find a landmass that big with that many people working together under the same cause. You won't find that anywhere else. And I can tell you this, I've had the ability to be on trips in many countries. And one thing I regularly hear, Africa included, is this statement, it is my dream one day to live in the United States. It's their dream. This is a beautiful country. And its beauty is seen from all over the world. And can I just say this? That is due to a lot of stuff, but that is due in large part to those who defend its beauty. Today is Veterans Day. I want to ask if you're a veteran in this room, if you would just to stand, that we may honor you in this room for what it is that you do and cause and create defense for. Thank you. Thank you. This is a nation that is so blessed, and we owe that blessing to you guys for defending it and you girls for defending it. We're so thankful for our nation's military and those who have served it. Let me say it again. This is a nation that is blessed. And as we've been learning in this Blessed Life series earlier this year, blessing comes with responsibility. We're blessed for the purpose of being a blessing to others. And that word others soars beyond just those who we know. It soars beyond those who we don't know. And we're commanded to be a blessing to others as Americans, to those in other countries on this earth that don't have what it is that we have. They don't get to even celebrate the democracy that we get to celebrate. And so Journey Church, we exist to be part of that solution, to just be a blessing to other places. And so we'll always be offering missions opportunities at this church. Some of you have already decided to sign up for Belize next year, which is a beautiful place, a beautiful country. It's got beautiful people. Where we're going to go into the heart of a Mayan village again, that we were just there. We're going to stand with a church that doesn't have the finances to do what they need to do to build on and expand what it is that they need for just their children's ministries. So we bought a home right next to the church, and we're going to help fill that place and renovate it and do construction for the kids' ministry. Just a six-hour flight to be part of a team that will make a difference in a beautiful church in the heart of a Mayan village. It's wonderful. And I also want to share this. Do you have that next picture, Micah? This is my last point. This is what I learned while we were in Africa. It's Burundi 2019. This is a place that we target to go every year moving forward. And even in a couple years, we look to grow trips to where we'll be able to go a couple of times a year because God's creating a huge partnership between our church and there. And we would love to have you join us. I don't have the dates, and so I don't want to give any information on that or prices, but I just want to ask you to consider praying about what it is that God wants you to do to be part of the missions arm of this church that exists to fulfill the command Jesus said back in Matthew 28, the command Jesus said back in Mark 16, go into all the world. And we're thankful to have been part of that solution. Amen. Amen. Can we stand here this morning? And I want to close this service here today just praying that God brings fruit from the seed sown from this trip. A lot of stuff was sown to a lot of people's lives. And I also want to pray for fruit to come from the seeds that were sown to us today through God's word, that it would produce the same fruit in us to have a passion to be part of the solution. Would you just close your eyes? Heavenly Father, I thank you, God.
Thank you for listening to the Journey Church podcast. If you would like prayer or to connect with us in any way, please contact us by emailing us at info@journeychurchmo.com. You can also find more information on service times, events, and more on our website, www.journeychurchmo.com.